Hey, you're listening to a New Life Church podcast. We hope this message will impact your life. If you would like to give financially towards this ministry, you can do so by giving online or by texting New Life for Kokomo to 77977. Be sure to follow us online through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again for joining us and prepare your heart for the Word of God.
He'll tell his story about how he felt called that he and his wife and their four children are going to uproot themselves and go to Africa to do missions work. I'm going to let him tell the story, but New Life Church, will you help me welcome Zach Holdeman this morning? Come on, brother.
Thanks, man. All right. What's up? How y'all doing? Okay. So I'm from the east side of Indy, and back home, I would say that was weak sauce. How y'all doing? Good. Man, it's such an honor to be here. Wow. I love your pastor and Jenny. They are amazing, amazing people. Yeah, give it up for them. You guys, let me say this. Let me say this to you. You have picked a good one. You are blessed to have them as your pastors, and their family is amazing. And I was so thrilled when I heard the news that they were coming here, and we're so excited for them. You have a beautiful church, beautiful congregation. It's easier to say that now with everybody's masks on. I met a friend out in the lobby before service. He says, "I think I know you." I said, what gave it away? The mask? But it's honor. My wife and our kids send their love. They had to go help some family down in southern Indiana this week, do a couple things. And so they're missing out. I texted them today. The first song you sang is my oldest son, Grant, who's 12 right there in the middle. That handsome guy who, is right. Yeah. His favorite song is Graves in the Gardens. And so I was like, oh. And then Paxton, the four-year-old, his favorite song is The King of My Heart. And so I texted them, and they're sad that they missed you today. Just a couple things about me. In next month, I'm celebrating my 17th year full-time ministry. And I'm so excited about that. I'm 37. So when I was 20 years old, I started being a youth pastor. And so I feel like I've been doing this a while, and God called us to Africa. And my wife and I have been married for 14 years. This is the part that she does in the service. And so I'm a little, she usually does this and greets. And so we've been married 14 years. We have four kids, Grant, 12. And God bless us with an angel, Sydney, who is 11. And she is the second mom to those three crazy knucklehead boys. And then Parker is 7, and then Paxton is 4, and that's my wife, Amy. And so we're glad to be here. Just a couple things. This is my natural hair color. I don't want you to be wondering those things while I'm talking today. I went to the is it DMV or BMV? You know, that long line that you wait for forever to get your license. And the lady asked me one time what my hair color was, and I just looked at her. I'm like, do you really need to ask? And she goes, yeah. And so I said, purple. And she didn't think that was very funny. As a matter of fact, she scowled at me. I don't know if that was her natural look, but that was just this, I got it. And so I picked one. So my natural hair color is brown. But right now I'm doing this new thing. It's called transparent hair. It's a new trend, I guess. I've been doing for a while. So I see a couple of my fellow transparent friends out there. God bless you. I'm here today representing South Africa. You're the second church that we've ever been able to say that to. For the last time in itineration, we've been headed to Mozambique, and God has changed some things. And so we're excited that we're headed to Cape Town, South Africa, and we're going to be part of Urban Tribes. Your son, what's Urban Tribes? Urban Tribes is one of the three initiatives on the continent of Africa. We believe in the Africa House, that there needs to be a church planted within walking distance of every African. And so Now there's a organization that is planting churches in the bush. But what we're seeing, the statistics are crazy right now. Listen to this. In the next 10 to 15 years, almost 70% of the continent of Africa will be urbanized. Meaning people are leaving the bush, they're leaving their villages, and they're on a search for something, and they're going to these gateway cities, these big cities, Cape Town and Durban and Kenya and Nairobi, Kenya. They're going to these big cities, and they're on a search for something. What they don't realize is that they're trying to find happiness, and we read it in Ecclesiastes, where they're trying to find happiness and money and wealth and education, but none of those things will ever make them happy. Well, the only thing will make them happy is Jesus. And so now what we're doing, Urban Tribes, is this initiative that we are planting a church in the heart of Cape Town, and we are ready for them to come. And our team is going to plant this church, and we're going to have next-gen pastors. That's me. And we have a lead pastor. And what we're doing is we're going to be ready so when they're searching for something, we can say, we know what you're looking for, and his name is Jesus. And so with your partnership, and we thank you that you've picked us up as you are our supporters. So when we go and we plant this church in Cape Town, it's not just us. It's not just these missionaries planting this church, but you, New Life, are there in Cape Town giving new life to people in Cape Town, South Africa. So thank you. Thank you so much for allowing us to take you with us. And I've been a preacher a lot longer than I have been a missionary. And so is it all right if I just bring a word? Yes, I'm supposed to talk about Urban Tribes in Cape Town, but I would not do you a justice today if we just talked about Africa, which I could do all morning. I know growing up in the church, my dad would say, we're having a missionary come in, and I'd be like, oh, more slides. Come on, I'm just being real. Oh, no, slides. And then I got to take this guy to lunch, and he's not going to use a fork. He's going to eat with his hands. That's weird. That's what I was thinking growing up, and now I'm on the other side of it. And I don't use a fork. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. I'm just trying to... But I want to bring a word, and I believe that God has divinely orchestrated this moment for you to be here in that seat, not just to leave those doors the way you walked in, but I believe that you can leave this place changed and restored and renewed. I don't know what you're going through this week. I don't know what kind of hell you've gone through. I don't know the situation. I don't know what the doctor report said. I don't know what the bank statement says today. I don't know what the job says. But what I do know, in Psalms chapter 46, verse number 1, it says, our God is a refuge and ever-present help in times of trouble. Okay, hold on. I'm a hollerback preacher. I need some help. This morning, I said, no matter what you're going through, no matter the circumstance, no matter how big the ugly giant seems, our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. Come on, somebody, and help me out this morning. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you're the lowest valley, if you're at the highest mountain, our God is an ever-present help in times of trouble. At the beginning of the year, as we started our itineration process, and I was praying and I was just fasting, God, what are you wanting people to hear this year? The voice of the Holy Spirit spoke and brought me to this scripture. Having no idea what this year was going to entail, having no idea that 17 weeks we would sit in our living room and we would watch services online and not be able to raise any money or any funds, but remembering and relying on his word, that God is our refuge and strength and always ready to help in times of trouble. That's the God we serve. And so today, I want to preach a message called Trophies and Tragedies. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word that we can stand on. God, I thank you that you are an ever-present help in times of trouble. And so, God, I pray that even though we feel like the earth is giving way, and that the mountains are crumbling, that you are there. You are with us. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. You're there. And so, God, the tragic moments that we're going through today, I pray that you turn them into trophies. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Today, trophies and tragedies. We know what a tragedy is. We know tragedy, by definition, is an event causing great suffering, destruction, and distress, such as a serious accident, a crime, or a natural catastrophe. Can we just be honest today and say that this year has been full of a lot of tragedies? And I don't know about you personally, what you've gone through, but it doesn't take long if you watch the news to see that our country is in a tragic moment in our history. This pandemic, all these things that are going around our world, it's tragedy. You know, yes, we're working with urban tribes, but the second thing that we're doing is we're working with Africa's children. And let me just say this real quick. Please stop by the table and grab one of these prayer guides. This is a prayer guide from Africa's children. If you want to pray for Africa, this tells you about every country and the need in every country. Mozambique in particular, one that we're headed to, and then God called us a different direction. Right now, as we're talking, there's 2 million homeless kids running the streets. Our country, the average is about 500,000. The last statistic I look, a little over 500,000 homeless people in our country. There's 2 million in one capital on the continent of Africa. There's 400 million children in Africa right now. That's a crazy number. 400 million. It's more than the population of the United States. Between 0 and 15. That's mind-blowing. I want to tell you one more other mind-blowing number, and that's the number 8. That doesn't seem very big, does it? But that's right now the number of some of God's world missionaries on the continent of Africa to serve the 400 million. As a matter of fact, in South Africa right now, there's 0 missionaries there specifically to work with the millions of children in South Africa. It's a tragedy. But it's not all bad, because with your partnership, we're going to go and we're going to be the one missionary there to work in South Africa with those children. So thank you. Thank you for sending us. But that's tragic. 400 million. Yeah, I mean, just think. Maybe in your own life you've had tragedies happen all around you. But today, I believe with my whole heart, today, in this moment, in this service, that there's people in here and you're sitting in tragedy, not with the things that are going around you, but the things that you're thinking right here. Zach, what are you talking about? Let me explain it like this. Let me explain it in a story. The story about Parker, our 7-year-old. This handsome guy that you'll see right here on the screen. That guy. Look at how cute he is. He's handsome. He's 7. There's a Greek word that I like to use to describe Parker. And that Greek word is crazy. Parker's our crazy kid. I don't know if parents, or maybe you're that kid in your home. You're the crazy one. Here's some more pictures of Parker. You can see. All right, so I'll just real quickly. He's made up the superhero. He's in Mr. Incredible with a Captain America cape, a detective hat with a shark head on. And then that picture right there on the top left, he's wearing a white t-shirt and he's getting ready to eat SpaghettiOs. And he's like, you know what? I need a napkin so I don't get SpaghettiOs on my shirt. Well, he missed the napkin and covered the whole belly of his shirt, white t-shirt, with SpaghettiOs. And then you see the spoon sticking out of his mouth. That eye, that look right there, that's crazy. That's just that Greek word. And then we heard a ruckus. That's a good word too, ruckus, going on in his room. And we walked in his room and we said, what is going on? what are you doing? And I walked around the door, and he, you know, remember those little trampolines? So he's got one of these little itty-bitty indoor trampolines. He's jumping on, he's screaming, and he's shouting. And he's got that wolf hat on. And we strategically cropped that picture because he had a wolf hat on. Do I need to? We're not going into details, church. I hope you understand what we're trying to tell you this morning. Parker's crazy. And so, I hope you came to church to laugh because he had a wolf hat on. And so, he watched his older brother and sister play basketball, and so he decided, you know what, I'm going to play basketball like them. And so, this is his statistics from his basketball season. He's 4'1", 50 pounds, and 0 points. Ladies and gentlemen, he was terrible. He was so bad, at one point he shot the ball, missed everything except for the back of the head of one of his teammates. If we would have filmed it, our budget probably would have been raised from AFV. We blame the coaching staff, which was me. And so, but he realized, halfway through the season, I asked him a question. I said, Parker, why do you like basketball so much? And this is what Parker had to say. He said, I like basketball because after every game, I get a snack. Come on, somebody. Man after my own heart. You can't be mad at that. He had popcorn and Gatorade after every game. And I took a couple pieces because it was like, he had to pay me something for the great job I was doing. And so halfway through the season, he realized that he was going to get a trophy, and he was so excited. And so the night came that Parker got his trophy, and they called his name Parker Holderman. And so he walked up to the stage, and everybody was looking, and he grabbed his trophy. He was so happy and so proud. And I noticed that the longer that he's holding his trophy, the tighter his knuckles got and the bigger his smile was. I said, Parker, come on, let me hold your trophy. He's like, no, man. No, Dad, no, this is my trophy, mine. And so we walked out of that gymnasium and the doors flung wide open, slang however you say, they opened up. And as they did, he threw his trophy in the air. And then he like took a step out with his trophy and then he looked like he was looking for like ESPN to come do a one-on-one interview. And he's like, come on, where are they at? Where's my outside the lines special? 30 for 30. And so he's holding his trophy. And he said these words. He said, look what I deserved. And that, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me in this story. And I believe today this is the first tragic thought that I deserve it. I deserve his love. I deserve his grace. Look what I've done. Look how hard I've worked. I deserve it, but can I tell you this morning, I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here to speak the truth, and I'm here to tell you today, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve his love. You don't deserve his grace. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, it said God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. So none of us can boast. I'm here to tell you what you do deserve. Too much coffee this morning. What you do deserve is you deserve hell. You deserve death. But because he came to this earth to die on the cross for your sins, not that you can boast about it, but you can live in his grace and say, God, it's not for me, but it's by your grace. Come on. It's his grace that we've been saved. His unmerited favor. Salvation by grace is therefore God's unmerited favor, his goodness towards those who have no claim on it. No reason to expect it. It's divine favor. It's his grace. We walk around thinking that we deserve it. I deserve his grace, but it's his love. Because while we were still sinners, Romans 5, I love what this translation says in Romans 5, chapter 6. It says, when we're utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's called grace. It's called grace. So that's the first tragedy that we can think, is that we deserve it. And maybe even some of you today, you think, I'm here. I have his grace, but I deserve this hardship. Can I tell you this? There's no condemnation for those who are found in Christ Jesus. It's his grace that he loves us. And so, back to the story of Parker. As he's walking through the parking lot, is his trophy still up? You could tell his shoulders getting tired, and so he changed hands, but he still wanted everybody to see. Remember that picture with the spoon sticking out, those crazy blue eyes? I saw those eyes in that moment in that parking lot, and I said, he's about to do something. Like last week, we were at a church, and I saw the crazy in his eye when he was up on the stage with his mama telling his verse. I saw the crazy in his eye. I'm like, what is he getting ready to do? He walked back. As his mom and his older brother were talking, he walked back and looked around and ran as fast as he could and jumped off the stage in front of this church service. That's the crazy I'm talking about. The week before, we were at this church, and you know those push doors, Pastor Devin? Those they got that bar. And he's like, you know what? This would be a cool idea. So he holds on to the bar, and he runs out of the church, and then he swings back. Whee! Poof, and the door shuts. And he runs, and he whee! You know what I'm talking about? I'm like, Parker, what are you doing? What in the world are you doing? Did you hear my watch go off? You know why my watch goes off and I can't figure out why? Because Parker would think it was a good idea to start pushing every button on my watch. And so now at 11:01 every day, my watch goes off. And I can't figure out how to get it off. It's the crazy I'm talking about. And so he had this crazy in his eye with this trophy in his hand. And he took a step. He's like, if I get 3 inches higher, if I stand on this curb, I get 3 inches higher, everybody, more people see I have a trophy. And as Parker did, he tripped and he fell. This is my story. Don't get there before. He tripped and he fell and he broke his trophy in half. You all are so kind. We cracked up because it would only happen to Parker. To this day, his older brother, when I tell the story, we'll laugh. And Parker will get upset, and they'll start fighting in the front row, and Parker will drop an elbow. But he broke it, his trophy. And in that moment, I believe also the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. The second tragedy that people think and they walk around church is that they're too broken. That we are too broken for God to love us. We are too broken and too messed up for God to use us. But I'm here to tell you today, that's a tragedy. That is the wrong mentality. You are not too broken. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. You're not too broken. He stood there with a big crocodile tear coming down his face. And you know when that little lip starts quivering, you know. And he stood, he said, Daddy, my very first trophy, I already broke it before I got to the car. I'm here to tell you today, yes, you are broken. We all have issues. We all have things that we deal with, and sometimes those burdens feel way too heavy to bear. But we are imperfect people in a broken world. But that does not mean you're unloved. Can I say that again? That does not mean you're unloved. He loves you despite your brokenness. Not only does God love you in your brokenness, but he even heals your brokenness. And I believe here today, in this moment, God is here to put all the pieces back together. The shattered pieces of your heart, your family is broken. I believe today is your day for restoration. Today's your day for God to put all the brokenness back together. As a matter of fact, in Psalms 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Psalms 34:18, it says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those whose spirits are crushed. You're not too broken today that God cannot heal you. Your life is not a mess that God can't put back together. I'm here to remind you today that he loves you despite your brokenness. And he wants to use you. And I saw Parker as he was holding his trophy, and he tried to, when we're broken, let me just say this. When we're broken, we try to put the pieces back together. Come on. You try to fix your own mess. You try to put it back. And when we do that, our thinking is irrational. We try to put this back together. And he tried to frantically put the trophy back together, but he couldn't. He couldn't do it on his own. As a matter of fact, it only got fixed when he gave it over to the Father. He said, Dad, can you help? And so as a good dad, I went and I replaced it. I mean, because I listen, I know my skill set. And glue and plastic isn't one of them. But what I'm so glad about our God is that he knows how to fix you. And you can't do it on your own. And that's the third tragedy that we talk about today. That I can do this by myself. I can do it by myself. I can fix my problems. Let me ask you a question. If you can fix your problems, then why haven't you already fixed them? You can't. I love what Melvin Hodges, one of the great all-time legends in the mission community. He was a Latin American missionary. He's a missions executive. He was an author. He wrote a book called The Theology of Church and Its Mission. And in this, he wrote, the word church is translation of the Greek word ecclesia, which means the called out, the summoned. It's crazy that this year the church has had to stay in when our definition means to be called out. So let me give this plug. If you have to stay in, stay in. If your immune system is down, stay in. But when everything's back and running, Pastor, I'm on your side. You got to be called out. Don't get lazy and just watch on the screen at your home in your pajama pants. The church has to be called out. Why are we supposed to be called out? Because you can't do it on your own. You can't do this life by yourself. You need help. You need somebody in your corner. You need accountability. You need discipleship. You need somebody to keep pushing you forward. You're not supposed to do this life by yourself. We hear in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. So those are the three tragedies I want to talk about. I'm going to wrap up. Thanks for being patient with me today. I appreciate it. I really feel, though, that you need to hear this. You need to hear this word today. So here you go. The first one, first tragedy is I deserve it. The second one is I'm too broken. And the third one is I can do it by myself. I told you this morning that my message is entitled Trophies and Tragedies. And you say, Zach, where's the trophy in this? You just talked about the tragedy. I'm so glad you asked me. I'm so glad you asked me what the trophy is. It's real simple. You are his trophy. You are his masterpiece. No matter how bad Parker played on Saturday, no matter how awful his game was, every Saturday, his mama had a button on her shirt. And she said, "That's my boy. I don't care that he missed it. I don't care that he dribbled the wrong way. I don't care any of that. He's mine. He belongs to me." And church, I'm here to tell you today that you are his trophy. You are his masterpiece. That he fearfully and wonderfully put you together, and that he loves you and he calls you his own. And right now, I can see this vision of God sitting on a throne, and he's got your button with your face on it. He says, "That's my kid. I don't care how broken they are. I don't care what they've done. I love them despite the brokenness. I love them anyways. They're my trophy. And one day we're going to be in heaven, and all the good deeds that we've done will be this gold masterpiece, this trophy that will sit on his feet, will sit at his feet. Why? Because we're his trophy. And you're his masterpiece. I'm here to remind you, doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, he loves you. No matter what you've been through, God cares about you. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago. It's you. Friend, it's you. You are his masterpiece. You are his trophy. Will everyone just real quick close your eyes and bow your head? You're here today. And I'm here today, and it's not a coincidence. It's not by chance. But God has ordained this moment for you to realize and for you to know, so you can hear this bald-headed preacher tell you that he loves you and that he cares about you, and you're his trophy. Be here today. Can you just be honest with me for the next minute or so, 2 minutes? You hear, say, "Zach, I need grace in my life. I need that unmerited favor. There's some things I've done this week. There's things that I'm going through, and I just need God to extend grace to me." If that's you, will you raise your hand? Let me see. Who needs some grace? Come on. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Who else? Come on. You say you're here. You say, "Zach, I need grace. There's things I'm going through. I need his grace." Yes, I appreciate that. Thank you. Second question today. You're here and you say, "Zach, I'm going through a season of brokenness, and I need God to put the pieces back together. I feel so broken. I feel so hopeless, and I need God to put pieces back together." Will you raise your hand and say, "That's me"? Yes, already. Already, hands all over this place going up. Yes, I see it. Who else? Yep, I appreciate that. Thanks for being honest. Yes, across this whole room. Can I ask you to do something bold? If you raise your hand for the first or second question, right where you are, not to call you out, but just so we can pray, so your church family knows how to pray, right where you are, will you just stand up? Just stand up if you raise your hand for the first or second question. I appreciate that. Yes, come on, just stand up right where you are. Come on, this isn't to point you out, to laugh or make fun, but so we can do this thing together, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. Church, will you look around and let's just begin to pray. Don't put your hand on them. Just look around and just stretch forth your hand for all these who are standing today. God, I come to you right now and I thank you. Come on, let's all of us. Come on, if you stand up, will you just put both hands to heaven right now? And a sign of surrendering whatever you're going through. God, you see the situation. You see what's happening. And I pray a divine move of your spirit to be poured out on everyone who's standing right now. God, if it's broken, brokenness, put the pieces back together. God, if they need grace, I pray that they call out to you right now. They confess with their mouth that they're a sinner and they need a Savior. Give them that grace. God, for those of you, God, for those who are still sitting in their seat, and you see the situation that they're going through, the situation that they're getting ready to go through, I pray, God, that you help them. Put the right people in their life to keep them accountable. Help them have discipleship in their life to help them be better. God, I praise you and I thank you. In your son's name we pray. Come on, just thank him real quick. Come on, just thank him. God, I thank you. I thank you for fixing the brokenness today. God, I thank you for mending our hearts today and giving us grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. I just want to take a moment and just say thank you. I know I went over my time, but I really believe that this was a word for you. And so, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak what the Holy Spirit put on my heart. I was driving today and listening, and I believe the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that today can be your day of change. And so you gave over your brokenness to him. Now walk out this place changed. How many know, and how many have believe that this word, the word of hope, the word of mending and healing needs to be shared in our country? And how many believe that this word, the gospel of Jesus, needs to be preached in our universities? And how many believe today that this word, the gospel, needs to be preached to every tribe and every tongue and every nation? I believe with my whole heart, so much so that I'm selling my house and my cars and I'm leaving my family and my friends and I'm taking our four kids to move hours and hours and hours away on the other side of the world. That's how much I believe in it. I believe God called me. But you know today, church, you can play a part in that. I'm so grateful for the generosity your church has shown me and our family this week. Pastor Devin said normally they at this time they would take up an offering, but we're not doing that today. Your church has already taken care of us, and I appreciate that. But what I'm asking you to do, in that seat in front of you, you'll see one of these faith promise cards. Will you go ahead and grab that right in front of you? This isn't an Africa thing. This isn't a Holdeman thing. This is a New Life thing. This is what your church, we all said we believe that the gospel needs to be poured out on our campuses, in our country, and around the world. So what I'm going to ask you to do, in your family unit, right there where you're at, what can your family do to help the mission of New Life? How can you give? Maybe it's a sacrifice. Maybe you're not gonna buy a Starbucks a week. Maybe your family's not gonna go out one time a month. That money you're gonna set aside and you're gonna give the missions. Right now, I want you to take a minute and we're gonna pray. And the pastor's gonna come up. And I'm gonna ask you to pray on your own. But what can you do to help the gospel? How can you give to missions through your church to help spread the gospel? Maybe it's a $10 a month commitment. For the next 6 months, you're gonna say, I'm gonna give 10, maybe for you $100, maybe for you it's $1,000. Whatever God puts on your heart, I'll tell you this, if he puts it on your heart and you do it, you're going to be blessed. If he puts it on your heart and you don't do it, you won't be happy. And so we're going to just take a moment. What is God speaking to you? How can you help spread the gospel through your church for the next 6 months? What's God speaking to you today?
Amen. I'll just invite you to stand with me this morning. We're going to sing one last song this morning before we dismiss. And while we're singing this last song, I want you to take that faith promise. A few things I want you to know about this is if you fill out a faith promise card, what you're saying is that by faith that you want to support the missionaries and the missions projects that we are a part of at New Life Church. This is above and beyond your regular tithe and giving. And we're asking for a 6-month commitment. Now, what this isn't is this is not something that our office is going to track and call you and say, hey, you haven't fulfilled your faith promise. This is between you and God. But what I do ask is when you fill out this faith promise card, if you do that today or next week, you can simply drop it in the offering box, because what this will allow us to know is to get an idea of what missions projects and things we can kind of forecast and how we can help missionaries and in the field right now based upon gauging what our missions giving is right now as a church. If you're already giving to missions, I would still like for you to fill out your faith promise card, even if your giving is going to remain the same or if it's going to increase. But I want you to prayerfully consider what you would do for missions. You know, a couple weeks ago I said that if 100 people in our church gave only $10 a month, we could increase the amount that we could do for missions by $12,000 a year. That's a big difference. And so consider what you would do, or if you're already giving the missions, I want to say thank you so much. Our missionaries, thank you. And so if you're already giving, just notate what you are. You could drop those in the boxes on your way out. You can take the next week and pray about it as a family. But as we sing this last song, prayerfully consider what you would do to help get the whole gospel to the whole world. Let's sing together one last time.